Good morning, everybody. Hope everybody's doing all right today. Jason, good morning, man. How are you? You ain't too wore out from yesterday? So you was just getting started, huh? It was a pretty relaxing day for me as well. That was refreshing compared to the work I normally get to do. Praise God, y'all. We'll go ahead and get started and pray. Anybody got anything they want to add to the prayer list this morning before we get started? Praise God. Yep.
And she had her surgery Thursday, and surgery went great. And the doctor, we haven't got the results back, but the doctor said that the mass looked benign.
Praise God. Amen. Yeah. We're going to believe for that.
I got a praise report. I went to the doctor, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. Anyhow, one day this week. I am right now, no cancer.
Praise God. Still in the healing business, ain't he, John Dugan?
He is.
Same God that he was in the Bible, he's still the same God today, right?
That's it.
Amen?
He's in control.
He is.
Today, yesterday,
and tomorrow. Amen.
About trillions of years.
That's only the beginning. We don't even have a number big enough to compare with how long it's going to be. I mean, you just think about it. A billion years is just the beginning, and then it starts over another billion years. Wow. Think about the lifetime we've lived here, and it just seems like how long it's been, and that's why it says life is but a vapor. You know, the things on this earth, they're just temporary. Don't get so caught up in this world because everything in it is just a fleeting moment that's just going to pass us by. That's why we need to spend as much time as we can just loving on one another and trying to bring as many people into the kingdom of God as possible, because this is just a short amount of time. But what's going to last is the rewards that we received here for our work that we did, and our relationship with each other and our relationship with our God for all of eternity. Anyways. Yeah. Praise God. Probably wouldn't want to live 900 years on the earth now. Amen. If we were still walking with God in the cool of the day in the garden, then I could do 900 years like that. Anyways, we'll go ahead and get started. Anybody else that's just coming in, got anything they want to pray about or praise report or anything before we get started? Praise God. Billy, Amy, it's good to see y'all this morning. Praise God for y'all being here. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you for this gathering that we have here today, Lord, to be able to fellowship in your Holy Spirit, Lord. God, we just pray and thank you, Lord. First of all, we want to come to you with a heart of gratitude, just saying thank you, God, for all that you've done for every person here, Lord, that's got test results back, that's cancer-free. God, for the prayers that's been answered for the daughter, Lord, for the surgeries that went well for Kenneth, God, who's seeing good results with that. Lord, we just want to thank you, knowing that ultimately you are the one who is healing, God. No matter how it happens, you're the one that's in control. And so, God, we just thank you so much for that. God, I just want to ask right now, as it's been brought to my attention for our brother David, David Robertson, God, that we just lift him up to you, Lord, and pray that he gets the hydration that he needs. Lord, that he gets revived in his spirit, man, that he understands that as long as he's here on this earth and got breath in his body, that, God, you still got a purpose for him, that you've called him for your purpose, God, and that is to glorify you, to love on his family while he's here, God, and, Lord, just renew him, God, in his spirit, man, and Lord, take care of him so that he can have more time here on this earth with his family to shine your light, God, and to spread your word. Lord, we also pray for the word this morning. We just pray, God, that we get to experience your spirit together this morning. As we have come together, God, over your word, we pray that you would anoint us, God, you would anoint this word so that I'd be able to speak the truth with boldness, God, and that it would be effective for my brothers and sisters here who are listening to it, God. Lord, I pray that it would cause a fire to stir up inside of them, God, that would, the day today when they go out from here, they would want to start walking in the things that we're talking about, God, that we not just be hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word, God, glorifying and magnifying King Jesus. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before we actually get into my notes, I wanted to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 31. Just a real quick side note here. So we can understand what this message is about, or hopefully to help with that. And where the title came from. 1 Corinthians 12:31. This whole, towards the end of 1 Corinthians here, is all good, exciting stuff. I've got highlighted all the way through chapter 12 through verse 14, almost every verse is highlighted, but verse 31 says this, it says, "But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way." So the purpose that I hope to get across with this message, first I think we need to have a good understanding of what the spiritual gifts are, how we operate in them, why they are important, but the message is ultimately leading up to this, what is a still more excellent way that Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 12:31. So as awesome as all these gifts are, we're going to be talking about tongues, prophecy, healing, miracles, all things that the Bible was talking about there in 1 Corinthians 12. And he says, "And yet I show you a still more excellent way." There's something even greater than the gifts. And ultimately, we're going to see that in chapter 13, that's love. Love for one another, because it said you can give your body to be burned at a stake. You can give yourself to be martyred. You can do all these things, but if you have not love, it profits you nothing. And we want to profit each other, because it says that the gifts are given for the profit of one another, for the benefit, the common good of each other. So if we don't have love that is accompanied with those gifts, then we're not profiting anybody anything. And see, love is a fruit of the Spirit, and fruit is grown over time. It becomes matured and ripened over time. And we need to be able to understand the gifts, the proper way to use them, and the way to be mature in our use of them so that we'll be effective in building up the kingdom of God, and so that we can operate in love as the Bible has called us to do. I got a little rushed at the end of the last message last week, and I wanted to go back over. I wanted to start kind of where I finished at and go back over this a little bit, because I believe it's important. But concerning your gifts being your identity, you know, we all have a gift of the Holy Spirit, and we can take that on as our identity, when really we shouldn't. That's what we do for God shouldn't be our identity. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says in Colossians 3:3 that your life is hidden in Christ. So your identity is in him. It's not in what you do for him. And if our identity is in him, we should take on the mind of Christ and do as he did, who, although he was rich and he was king, he took on the form of a bondservant. He humbled himself to be useful in serving rather than being served. So before we move on from this, our gifting is not our identity any more than our occupation is our identity. Our occupation may help describe what we do, but it doesn't describe who we are. Our character, our integrity, the way we love, our passions and desires, that describes who we are. So the dangers of identifying in our gift is that our gifting ebbs and flows. So when you think about ebbing and flowing, that's like the wave of the sea, right? It crashes in, and the tide is coming up. It inches up a little more and a little more and a little more until it ebbs, and then it starts receding back and going back out to the ocean, right? So our gifting is going to flow like that. If you know what your spiritual gift is, you could take an honest assessment, and you can look and see that you're not always on point. You're not always at 100% maximum of whatever your spiritual gift is. That's because there are seasons where God is preparing you for the thing that he has for you to do. In other words, sometimes God is sort of putting you in the incubator and getting you ready for the season that he's getting ready to birth you into. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the dark and the lonely place is not a tomb, it's a womb. You see what I'm saying? God is getting ready to give birth to something by taking you and setting you aside and putting you in a dark and lonely place sometimes, though it seems, because you're never alone because he's always with you. But you're in a season where you may not be operating in your gift like you think that you should. And if you're identifying yourself in your gift, then when you're not operating in it, you feel like God has left you. Are like you're no longer being used by God. I know, like for me, for example, as a teacher, it feels good to be teaching, right? It feels good to be out preaching and doing street ministry and doing all those things and sharing. But you have seasons where you can read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible and you don't seem to be getting anything out of it. But then there's other times where when you're reading the Bible, it's like every word is jumping off the page and you're getting revelation after revelation after revelation. That's the flow of the gifts operating right there. But then the ebb happens. But we're tempted to get depressed when the ebb happens. But don't get depressed. See that as a season of preparation. God is getting you ready for something that's greater and something that's bigger. Jesus himself went to be alone with the Father up on the mountain and pray and to have seasons of quietness so that when he went out and he was in front of 3,000 people and he was preaching and he was teaching, he would be prepared because of the time that he spent with the Father in the quiet place. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's not all about show and being out there and doing something. Sometimes it's about sitting still and just being in the presence of God. That's where the power comes from. And then you're prepared to go out and do the work of the Father. See, your identity is in him. And the Bible says you are chosen by Christ. And thanks be to God that he never changes and his love for us never wavers. Listen, that's why the Bible says those who endure to the end hear, well done, good and faithful servant. It didn't say, well done, good and gifted servant. It didn't say, well done, one who had 1,000 people in their congregation. It didn't say, well done, good and... You fill in the blank. It said, well done, good and faithful servant. So no matter whatever God has called you to, you have to remain faithful in that, whether you're getting to see the fruit of it or not. Listen, there's people that you're going to encounter in your life that when you're using the gift that God has gave you, you're going to affect them somehow, and you may not even get to see it on this side of earth, but when you get to heaven, you'll see it. There'll be people who are there because of what you did here on this earth. I was talking to Eli last week, and Eli has a gift of encouragement, and I have heard testimonies of people who may have just been walking in a store or something, and somebody held the door open for them and said, hey, how you doing today? You know, God bless you, whatever it may be, and that person was on the way to kill themselves. And you don't know what the people who are around you are going through. You have no idea. And just one little kind gesture, one little small word of encouragement could be the very thing that turns them around and keeps them from going and committing suicide. Listen, your gift of faith, some people have a gift of faith, great faith. You believe that God is going to do something for somebody, and so you give them that word of encouragement. You tell somebody that, and that may be the very key that opens the door to the breakthrough that they've been praying for. Your gift of healing. Somebody's been praying for healing, and God sends you along to pray for them, and you lay hands on them and pray for them, and they get healed. Do you understand how important that our gifts are for one another? For the building up of the body of Christ until we all come together in unity and look like Jesus Christ in the fullness and the stature of Jesus as a mature man operating and functioning the way that he has designed us to do so and the way that he has called us to be. So don't get caught up in the numbers and the size of the ministry that God has gifted you with. You may be a mom with two children at home, and that's your ministry. That's so important. That is so important. I mean, I praise God that I got a good wife who loves God and takes care of my children, because that ain't always the case today. It ain't. That's how you change the world. Think about what them children are going to be able to do. A matter of fact, I know for a fact what they already do to people. Because my kids already at 3 and 4 years old encourage people and love on people. They give people hugs and just interact with them in such a way that it brightens their day up. You don't have any idea what that's doing for people, you know? And that's because the love of the Father has been poured out on them. They've been nurtured in that. And since they realize how much they've been loved, they also turn around and give that love to other people. Do you see how important that is now? And that's why God wants us to understand how loved we are by him. Because when we understand how loved we are by him, then we can go out and love other people accordingly. But if we don't believe that God loves us, John, because we made a mistake or something, then we won't be able to go out and love other people effectively. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says when he talks about the greatest two commandments, so he talked about the first one was loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. The second is like it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love Jim if you don't love John. Amen? So serve faithfully, and remember what Galatians 6:9 says. Remember, we were talking about the size of your ministry, whether it's two kids, whether it's 1,000 people, whether it's being out on the street, whether it's at your business, putting tattoos on people and you get to love on them and tell them about Jesus Christ anyways. It don't matter what it is. None of it is insignificant when it's in the hands of the Father. So Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary in well-doing." So moving on, the next thing that I want to talk about here . Spiritual gifts are not the same as natural talents. Natural talents are for anybody. So anybody can have a natural talent. A lot of times you can see entire families that are really talented in sports, right? Like they just love college basketball or college football or whatever it is. They raise their kids up in that. All the kids end up being good in it because they breed it into them. They breathe and they live college football or whatever it is, you know? I mean, that's their thing. So you can have a natural ability, and that's not the same as a spiritual gift. You think about carpenters, mechanics, farmers. All those things are natural natural talents that you kind of create yourself. And a natural talent, see, is for somebody who is not born again, and it is typically used for yourself. Whereas a spiritual gift are used to enhance the lives of others. And spiritual gifts only come when we are born again and spirit-filled, and they are given for the purpose of building up of the body of Christ. However, God can take our natural talents and use them to be fruitful with our spiritual gifts. Look at somebody like Charlie Harper, who is a very talented musician. And if you listen to him tell his story, he talked about how he played and practiced guitar all the time in front of a mirror or whatever, standing out on a shed just playing guitar. And he became really talented at playing guitar. but then Charlie got born again and filled with the Spirit of God, and he started to lead worship then. He started to teach other young people how to play instrument. He teaches other people here how to lead in worship. You understand what I'm saying? So God took his natural talents that he had spent his life invested in, and then God turned it and uses it for his good and for his glory. It reminds me of the scripture in 1 Timothy 4:14. We'll look at that real quick. 1 Timothy 4:14, I'm going to read out of the Amplified Classic Edition. Speaking of Charlie real quick, I just want to say to everybody that came out yesterday, thank you very much. Side note on all this, we did go yesterday, pulled out weeds out of the flower beds, put down mulch, and just got to love on Charlie and be there for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lynn was so excited. Charlie was excited. I mean, he had no idea what was going on. Lynn did know what was going on, but she was able to keep it a secret. and so Charlie was just completely surprised, and you could just tell the genuine awe on his face and in his heart when he just seen 15, 20 of us just show up and just go to work and start taking care of things that they haven't been able to take care of, right? But that's what we're called to do in the body of Christ. That's why I believe that this is so important that we talk about the spiritual gifts and operating in them, and me trying to encourage you guys, let's do what this says. Let's just not talk about it. Let's get out and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. We come to church, we clap our hands, we worship, we sing kumbaya, all that stuff. But what good does it do if we don't actually get out and do anything with it? We can learn all the information we want to. We can get all the head knowledge we want to. We can come in here and sing all the songs we want to. But if we ain't getting out and loving on people, what good does it do? It's worthless. So my encouragement is to do it, and you will find yourself. Listen, we think because we're so busy in life, we got so much going on that we don't have time to get out and serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. Don't play yourself. God is the God of all time. He said, redeem the time because the days are evil. He's going to give you time to do the things that he's called you to do. And when you do it, you'll find a sense of fulfillment. You'll find a sense of purpose in doing the things that God has called you to do because it's what he designed you to do. You'll be walking, doing the thing that you were designed to do with the hand of your creator who created you, moving you along to do it. And you'll have his presence with you. That is the greatest thing on this earth, is having the presence of God with you, operating in your gift and helping other people. Because you're literally being the hands and feet of Jesus. You're the body of the Spirit of God at work here in this earth. I'm not telling you that you have to do this or you won't be saved. That's a works-based salvation. I'm telling you that since we are saved and born again, there should be a desire inside of us that makes us want to get out and walk and live and do the things that God has called us to do and that his word says that we should do. It says that these things are a fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit of God is inside of you, it should move you and compel you to get out and do the things that he's called us to do. That's not a condemnation, that's an encouragement. You'll love it. I'm telling you, you will absolutely love it. There's nothing greater than getting out and serving people and loving on people. And so, look, get up outside of yourself for a minute. It ain't all about us. It's about everybody else. Go ahead, Lynn. Amen. Right. Yeah. It goes a long way. It's a lot better to run into somebody who's smiling and saying, hey, how you doing today, rather than running into somebody who's like, oh, you know, I'm just making it. I'm here, you know. Especially when you talk to somebody in church, you're like, how you doing? They're like, I'm here. I'm like, brother, you got Jesus Christ. Don't you understand? You have the key to life. There's nothing greater on this earth than knowing Jesus Christ. How can you be so humdrum when you know the King of the universe, the one who created us all? Is that not the most awesome thing? And you have His Spirit living inside you. Listen, there's nothing that you cannot do when you have the Spirit of God living inside you. Do you understand how great that is? He's the King. And He says, I freely give you all things. All things are yours to enjoy. He richly supplies us. Praise be to God who gives us all things to enjoy. I enjoy just knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him, I enjoy knowing who He is and how He operates and how He functions. I love knowing His Spirit. I love knowing that even when I'm going through difficult times, that He's still there with me and that I'm going to make it out and I'm going to have a way out because He already paid the way for it. He's overcome every obstacle in this world. Be of good cheer. Come on. How can we be so down and out when we know the King? Listen, when you come into a king's presence back in the day, you wasn't even allowed to be in their presence unless they called you to be in their presence. They could kill you for even coming around them. Have you killed? But He freely invites us all to come in. He wants us to be in His presence. And we can be in His presence anytime we want to. Golly. How are we not fired up about this stuff? I don't understand. I've been fired up for 12 years about Jesus Christ. I've been trying to get other people fired up about Jesus Christ for 12 years. Why? Because it's the greatest thing you'll ever know about. It's the greatest experience that you'll ever have is knowing and walking with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's just practice. This is just practice, and it's just temporary until we get to be there with Him face to face, and we no longer need faith anymore. We don't have to believe for it because we're going to see Him. We're going to get to walk and talk with Him in the cool of the day, just like Adam and Eve did in the garden before the fall. It'll be the greatest thing you can imagine. Listen, we think so much about money now. It says you're going to walk on streets of gold. It's up under your feet because money really ain't nothing. It's knowing Jesus Christ, it's everything. He is everything to us, everything for us, and everything that we have need of, it is Him. If you've ever been lonely, He's the one that's always with you. If you've ever needed someone to provide for you, He is your provider. If you've ever need a way made, He's the way maker. Don't you understand? It's the greatest thing ever. He didn't leave us as orphans. I'm telling you, praise God, I hope so. Let's get fired up. We're talking about Jesus. Whew. Friend, that is so awesome. No longer do I call you slaves, but I call you friend. Because why? Because he has let us know what his secrets are. He has let us know what the king, how the kingdom operates. He calls us friends because we walk and talk with him. Praise the Lord. 1 Timothy 4:14 in the Amplified says it this way. Having a hard time just calming down trying to read this right here. First Timothy 4:14 says, "Do not neglect the gift which is in you, the special inward endowment which is directly imparted to you by the Holy Spirit, by prophetic utterance when the elders laid their hands upon you at your ordination." Paul is warning Timothy here not to neglect the spiritual gift that was imparted to him. So we talked about this, but you realize that we need evangelists to go out in the world and to preach salvation, because that could be the very gift that God uses to bring somebody into the kingdom of God. And listen, the Bible says that all of heaven rejoices over one sinner who was lost. If all the angels that are in heaven are rejoicing, shouldn't we be rejoicing when the evangelist goes out there and operates in his gift under the influence of the Holy Spirit and somebody gets truly saved and born again and they come to know Jesus? We should be excited about that. I don't know about y'all, but anytime I've ever seen anybody get up here and get down on the altar and pray when there's been a call for salvation, and I see people get turned around and born again and saved, it gets me lit up. I get excited about that. I'm rejoicing with all them angels. I don't know about y'all. By the way, this gift in this scripture here, it says that the gift was imparted by the Holy Spirit when the elders laid hands on him and prophesied over him. So the elders led by the Holy Spirit, used their gift of prophecy, laid hands on the brother, and imparted a spiritual gift to Timothy. My question is, why don't we see this happening? Where is this at? I'm saying that again. This is not condemnation. This is encouragement. Somebody has the gift of prophecy. We got elders in the church. We need to be seeing these young people who are coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, not as a burden, but as potential that God has bottled up in this little vessel that can be born again, that it can be useful in the kingdom of God. But it takes some of us to use our spiritual gifts, laying hands on these people, prophesying over them, being led by the Holy Spirit to train them up in the ways that a child should go, and when they're old, they shall not depart from it, for them to grow up and be able to do the same thing, so that when they get older, they've been taught maturity, they've been taught the fruits of the Spirit, how to love one another. They've been taught properly how to use the spiritual gifts of God so that when they grow up and they get older, they'll be the ones that's laying hands on other people, prophesying over them, speaking tongues over them, speaking life into them, whatever it is, so that they can continue on doing the same thing. I talked about this at the last men's meeting that we had, but in the trades, there is a big lack of young people who know what they're doing in the trades. It sounds funny, but the reason is because the older men in the trades don't care to take the time to teach the younger generation how to do the trades. So is it the young person's fault because they're ignorant, or is it the older person's fault who won't take the time to teach them? Because listen, the Bible says in Proverbs, it says where the mules are, there is much strength, but there's also much what in the stall, Mike? There's a bunch of dung in the stall. So in other words, you might have to clean up some crap. Huh? You might have to clean up some crap. But it's worth the investment because there's much strength that comes out of it. Do you understand? If we don't teach, listen, the Lord was telling me this. Each one, teach one, to reach one. If we don't do our part to reach somebody, to teach somebody, then who's going to teach the next generation to teach the generation after them? What kind of legacy are we leaving behind if we're not teaching other people how to operate as a man of God or a daughter of God or a son of God? If we're not teaching other people how to do that, then what's going to become of the world? So we talked about that in a natural sense, but we got to be able to do this in a spiritual sense too. We need to be able to train people in the ways of God so that they can operate and be effective. They are worth our time. Young people, listen, they don't even have to be young people, just new in the faith, right? Be a babe in Christ. They still need to be trained in the ways of God. They need us people who have more experience to be able to teach them the ways of God. The Bible says in Romans, except the weaker ones, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on the things that they believe, but for the purpose of building them up. It's our responsibility to teach and lead and guide these people. So let's pray for the young people, and let's pray also for the babes in Christ coming up in the ministry, that God can use them and will use them and show them the fullness of their abilities in Christ. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to go through we'll start with verses 4 and 5 right here. While y'all are flipping there, just be reminded that the younger generation is not a lost cause. And just because they walk different than us, they talk different than us, they act different than us, that doesn't mean that they're hopeless. They just need somebody to come alongside them. Listen, we all need the Holy Spirit to come alongside us, right? And if we're honest and we think about it, we all had somebody, Mr. Broom, that come into our life that helped lead us and shape us and mold us into the person that we are today, right, Mike? There's people God has placed in our lives to pour into our lives for a purpose. I remember, Amy, you've got the gift of prophecy, right? I heard years ago when I was here, Amy came up to me. She was seeing a vision, and she came to me, and she told me, you know, I just see God is just showing me that you have a heart of David, you know, and I've always remembered that. That's always stuck with me. And I believe the reason why she was seeing that is because I have a heart to shepherd people. I wanna lead people. I want to guide people. I want to protect the flock. You know what I'm saying? God has put that in my heart. But it's good to operate in those gifts that we have, because you never know the type of encouragement that you may be having on somebody. You may be the thing that starts somebody on the right path that they need to go down to be the next Billy Graham, to be the next Charles Stanley, to be the next Corey Ten Boom, whoever. You fill in the blank, but your gift may be the seed, may be responsible for planting the seed that's responsible for growing the fruit in these people. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries in the same Lord. Different giftings lead to different ministries. And that's why if you look around our church, for example, you have people like William Logan that does a lot of outreach and street ministry, because he has a gift of evangelism. So God's put that in his heart to do that. We've got Brenda Howe, who has the healing rooms, right? We've got all these different, we've got the Darren Joyner, who's got the men's ministry down there. We've got all these different ministries because God is multifaceted. He's not just confined to one time and space and one way of doing things. We can't take God and put him in a box. He's way too big for that. So it's not always going to look like what we're used to it looking like. makes me think about the scripture. It says, behold, I do a new thing before you. God is doing a new thing. Look at verse 6. 1 Corinthians 12, 6, it says, there are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. So even inside of each ministry where there may be the same gifts at work, they have different effects on people because God is working on us all at different individual levels. For example, I believe that each person here has been prepared for the message that we've been talking about today in a different way. Whatever way it may be, somebody may have read the book of Romans this month. Somebody may have read the book of Corinthians this month. Somebody has been seeing the body operate and realize how important it is for us to come together in unity and work together in unity. And God is using all these different things that have connected together to get you prepared for what you're hearing today. And then when you hear what you hear today, we can all glean something different from it, right? We may not all get the same exact thing from it. It reminds me of the Gospels. You have four Gospel writers, four different accounts, and each one of them, if you look at the different accounts of the miracles, the parable teachings, and all these things, they all differ slightly. Now, a skeptic would see that as inconsistencies. So somebody who wanted to try to tear apart the gospel, right? We know people like that, atheists, they try to pick things apart. Because there's differences, they would try to see that as a reason for skepticism. But really, if the stories were to line up word for word for word, that would be coercion. That would mean that they all got together beforehand and they all traded stories and that all the stories lined up exactly word for word. And if that happens when a detective is looking over a crime scene and they interrogate people, if that happens, you've got three or four people who have all the same exact story word for word. That detective knows that there's coercion and that the story has been fabricated. So the fact that there's little differences shows you that it's authentic. Just like us, we all have our slight differences, right? So we can, because of the way that we grew up or the lifestyle that we lived or whatever, we've been shaped and molded in different ways so that we're all different on individual levels. And so when we come together and we listen to the same message, we can all receive something different from it. That's because God is working these gifts to have different effects, as it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. It's the same Spirit, Mike Duncan, who works all these things together for the body of Christ. Amen. See, it's actually a beautiful thing. We don't want to all be walking around looking the same, talking the same, acting the same, do we? We'd be a bunch of robots. Listen, we would. Hello, how are you? Getting ready to preach my message today that I typed up from AI. Never mind, anyways. We're not all the same. We're all different, as you can see. Right, it will change. Again and again and again. But listen, it's actually a good thing when we come together. We're all like pieces of a puzzle that once we share what we have all experienced and all have learned, we can see the full picture. Do you got the NLT, Lynn? Anybody got the NLT translation? You got it, Jim? Look at Ephesians 2:10 in the NLT. We're going to have to wrap it up, but one more minute here. We're going to close with this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We're talking about how good it is that we're actually all different and we have different gifts. And the different gifts that we have all have different effects on different people because we're all individual. Yes, go ahead and read it, Jim. Ephesians 2:10. Yeah, NLT. Praise God. It says that we are his masterpiece created anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that he called us to do that he prepared a long time ago. We are his masterpiece. So if we're all like pieces of the puzzle, listen, you can't see the full picture until you have all the pieces together, linked together. And then we are his masterpiece created in Christ Jesus, and now we're showing the full picture of who Jesus Christ is because we're all operating under the influence of the Holy Spirit the way that he designed us to do. You see how beautiful and awesome that is? I'm going to close with this real quick, but I think about my children, how awesome it is that I get to see them when they hug on each other, love on each other, kiss on each other, play with each other. They laugh until they get tickled pink, and me and the mom be over here just listening to them laugh, and it gets us tickled, and we'll be laughing because they're just laughing it up. We love seeing our kids get along like that, and that comes from the heart of the Father. God loves to see us get along with each other, operate in the kingdom of God the way he designed us to do. So that's what this word is about, is to encourage us to come together in unity and operate in these spiritual gifts. So we'll go ahead and pray for the service today and for the worship service, and thank y'all for your time today. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this time we've had in your presence, that your goodness was here, God, manifested with us. Lord, we love you so much. We appreciate you. God, we just thank you for this worship service today, that your spirit will continue to come in here, God, and just rock our world, Lord, that we come together on one accord under the influence of you, God. And Lord, we just pray for the anointing on our teacher and speaker today, God, that they would be under your influence and that every word spoken would be a word breathed with your life in it, God, bringing life to all of us and new truths to bring us to new levels of freedom and maturity in the body of Christ. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.